You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September the 9th, 2021, President Biden at 4 o'clock Central Time scheduled to make an announcement, a six-point plan to fight COVID-19. They've been teasing all week, this is going to be really big. It's going to be big. It's going to really get control of the pandemic. It's going to include vaccine requirements, booster shots, which, by the way, the FDA and CDC have said, don't do that yet. We don't know if they're ready. We don't know if they're needed. Don't know if they'll be effective. But that's apparently still going to be part of the plan. Watch for the things between the lines and see what you find as you hear it presented. And it's going to be the point plan is going to help keep schools open. And you know how they're going to do that. Kids, you're going to be masked all day long. And then it's going to include increased testing, requiring masks, improving patient care, economic recovery, and whatever else they can get in there because they're just mainly trying to distract from Afghanistan. They are considering extending vaccine mandates, and the president's going to sign an executive order requiring federal workers and contractors to be vaccinated. Now, I do want to point this out to you. This is data from the CDC. If you believe the data, I'm going to leave it like that. According to the CDC, between January 1 and August 30, about 99% of those admitted to hospitals with, quote, COVID or the Delta variant, had not been fully vaccinated. They had not received the second dose of a Pfizer or Moderna, or they had not received even the single dose jab of the Johnson & Johnson. That's what the CDC says. Afghanistan. Word coming out today from the National Security Spokeswoman that we have, in fact, been able to get a Qatar Airways flight out of Karzai International Airport, landing in Qatar, carrying both U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents. And we are even in the process of saying the Taliban has been cooperative in facilitating this. They have shown flexibility. They've been businesslike, she says, and professional in our dealings with them. This is a positive first step. Is this woman really that stupid? Should I ask that question? I asked it already. Can't take it back. I do know this. Senate Republicans are demanding a full hearing on Afghanistan. They want sworn testimony from military leaders. Stand up there, hand raise. Pledge that I will tell the truth and only the truth under the punishment of perjury otherwise. Also in the meantime, the top officials in the Biden administration are once again praising that 2014 exchange of five Taliban members for Army soldier Bowie Bergdahl as a swap that was, quote, absolutely worth it. Absolutely worth it. Six of our soldiers were killed in various operations in looking for Bergdahl. He did plead guilty to desertion in 2017, but he evaded any prison time following his conviction in 2020. And then Deputy National Security Secretary Blinken, now Secretary of State, said, we know some of those we released from Gitmo and his exchange, they'll be carefully monitored. Oh, we know where they are now. They're members of the new Taliban government. And one of them is wanted for a bombing in Kabul, killing half a dozen people, including one American. FBI has a $10 million reward on his head. And I want to take another moment to honor Lieutenant Marine, I'm sorry, not Lieutenant, Marine Lance Corporal Jared Smits, buried with full military honors earlier today at Jefferson Barracks Cemetery. He was one of those killed at the suicide bombing outside the Kabul airport. Been laid to rest with full military honors. And the crowd that showed up yesterday and again today, there is our patriotic American spirit.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I believe totally in your freedoms. I do. Free, you got to do what you have to do. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right. You got your freedoms. But I happen to take the vaccines.
That was, of course, the former president, Donald Trump. That was a piece he was doing as he was addressing a crowd in Alabama. And he was encouraging them to get the vaccine, saying, I've taken the vaccine. And, of course, you heard actually some booing from basically a Trump crowd. They went there to see and hear Trump and applaud and yell and shout. But when he started talking about you should get the vaccine, you heard people start yelling back no and fighting back against it. And so he said, no, you still have your freedom. You have your freedom, but I took it. I think it's a good idea. I read a report earlier that according to the CDC, if you're going to believe that report, CDC stating that 99% of those who showed up at hospitals being admitted from January through August had not had full vaccination. I know many people that are changing their lives and their plans and everything else because still either living in fear or having to worry about what am I going to have to do or what rights am I going to lose that I can't go into certain places, I can't do this, I can't do that. Yeah, in New York City, you have to have documentation. If you're going to dine inside, you have to have documentation ready to present that you've had your full vaccination, and you have to have an ID, a picture ID to prove that it's you doing that.
That's got to be so racist. Come on. Isn't that kind of Jim Crow laws like on voting? And ironically, I'm not that far off when I raise that question because the majority, 70-plus percent of black Americans in the New York City area between 18 and 45 years of age have not gotten the vaccine. So back to segregation. You can't come in here because you're black. I mean, because you don't have your documentation. So you got President Biden preparing to come out maybe 2 hours from now and introduce his latest proposal. They're billing it a major COVID speech. They've been teasing all week. It's going to be big. But they're not really giving a lot of details right now. The president is apparently going to call for more mask mandates and vaccination mandates involving states and local governments, businesses, some combination of the three, or maybe not. We'll know more details in about 2 hours. But I have said, and I know many of you already believe this, this is just trying to present another shiny object, say, look at this. You don't have to look at Afghanistan. You don't have to look about Americans being stranded. You don't have to look at the fact that the president said, we will not leave until every American is out of Afghanistan. Forget all of that. And in fact, I'm looking at a piece written for the Federalist, and the title is Right on Point. Biden's major COVID speech is supposed to distract you from his dismal pandemic performance. That's right. And of course, even members of the leftist media pointed out yesterday, the so-called state-controlled media, they're kind of pushing around the edges. You know, CNN, NNN, Stephen Collinson said, Biden faces hard truths of the pandemic ahead of major speech. And another CNN, NNN reporter said, President Biden will be delivering what's being described as a major speech. But they're all kind of dancing around the fact that he's also not doing well in polling, not doing well when it comes to getting anything done in Afghanistan about getting Americans out. And whatever he says, I'm wondering now, are we going to see the VP again? Is she going to stand in the background behind him? As if I really care, I'm just wondering. But we also have in the midst of all of this information that you're given that you don't know if you can trust or not. The documents that got released the other day, 900 pages, many of them unpublished previously, which means they were not available for public view. Journalists couldn't have access to them, but finally through Freedom of Information Act, it was proven that Dr. Fake was indeed aware that there was biological testing going on at Wuhan lab. Gain of function is the phrasing they prefer. The same Dr. Fake who said originally when COVID began to come to our shores, oh, not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Oh, and masks, they won't do any good. Don't even bother getting a mask. And then later admitted he lied. He lied because he was afraid everybody would rush out and get a mask and they wouldn't have enough for frontline workers. Well, I want our frontline workers protected. But that really was also on his back to begin with. If we didn't have enough of those masks, he should have made sure we had them previously. He was basically the storekeeper of the mask. And he didn't ever prepare for such an issue like this. And he's head of the National Institutes of Health and Infectious Diseases. Maybe not for much longer because there are calls for his firing after he does more congressional testimony and challenge on his not exactly matching stories. Senator Tom Cotton said that after we finished another hearing with him, then he should walk down the street, go right to the federal court, because that's where he's going to be arraigned on charges. We'll see. And in the midst of this, of course, you also have to consider that, well, you don't know if a lot of these masks are doing you any good, if the vaccine's going to cause you more problems, or if it's good for you. And I cannot stress enough that I want you to make your own decision. And I feel for those of you who have young children, grandchildren. I have grandchildren, and I'm worried about them. It's up to their parents to decide if they're going to get it or not. And I have asked, and they say, yes, they are. One is only 10, but he is a type 1 diabetic, and I think he has been cleared to have the vaccine. I think that's right. But the bottom line is, it's an individual and our family decision. And there have been so many fake stories out there, you can't stay ahead of them. There was one the other day, and I just have not had time to spend on it, and this is a good time to do it. There was a story that was going out, originally reported by an Oklahoma TV station, quoting testimony from a doctor claiming that hospitals in a rural part of Oklahoma, a lot of parts of Oklahoma are rural. I'm just saying, you know, being a Texan and Oklahomans up there, you sooner, there's a lot of rural parts in Oklahoma. Yeah, there's some bigger cities too. All right. Anyway, this doctor was claiming hospitals are being overrun with patients because they've been overdosing on a drug usually given to horses and dogs and cattle. Ivermectin, a parasite-fighting medication. It can be sold over-the-counter as a vet drug. This is the same kind of thing that if you have a dog or a cat, particularly a dog, and you buy it and you open up that little thing and you run it right down the back of their spine a little bit, you just kind of dribble on there, and it will supposedly keep them free of fleas and things of that nature for a period of some months till you have to do it again. But this doctor was saying hospitals are overwhelmed with people coming in because they overdose. They're taking this medicine intended for horses and cattle and getting really sick. In fact, we can't even get gunshot victims. They have to wait to be treated. It turned out to be a totally false story. The doctor hadn't even worked at one of the hospitals in question for 2 months. Well, of course, since it came from a TV station, folks were taking it as fact, and who the hell at that TV station made the decision to put it on the air and they didn't check it out effectively? I don't know, but I assume somebody's paying for that, should. And a lot of those who carried the story then could quote the TV station's story. I've always said that's what I do when I'm with you. I'm giving you a quote or a piece of information. I always cite the source for two reasons. One, they did the work, they should get the credit. And two, did they actually do a good report or is it fake? And there's a thin line between credit and blame. But I'll go ahead and give them the quote credit until it turns to blame. But among those who decided to rush out and make a big deal of this, that, oh, these dumb people out there, these are the kind of MAGA people that are existing in our nation, especially in Oklahoma. Rachel Maddow went out on her tweet machine and said, you know, these people are just stupid. That's pretty much what she said. Yeah, pretty much stupid. She pointed out patients overdosing on ivermectin, hearing reports of people coming with vision loss. Then when it was pointed out it's wrong, it wasn't true, did she issue a retraction? Oh, no. No, no, no. In fact, Congressman Dan Crenshaw, Republican of Texas, stepped up and said, Why haven't you issued a retraction, Rachel? It's one thing to make a mistake, quite another to purposely keep the lie alive. But that's what they do sometimes. Throw it out there. I've told you that bag of 100 feathers, throw it up in the air on any corner, come back tomorrow, try to find all 100. You will not be able to find all of them. And if you're not even bothering to look, so be it. So a lot of people are still out there. And if you do a correction, that's not exactly an admission it was wrong. We went that through that the other day with another publication. They were wrong on their facts, did not say we were wrong. They just simply said the story lacked context. So, in other words, we didn't have it in the right context. Bottom line still is, journalistically, ethically, you're wrong. Now, the beauty of it being with a newspaper, you can bury it on page 6C. If you're on radio or TV, you're going to have to take an actual piece of time frame and explain and make and say that story I told you, it's wrong. I want to share something that maybe this is not exactly right, but it raises a big issue. More children shot this year in Chicago than had died from COVID in the entire nation? Stand by. I try to stay on top of my email and Facebook comments as we're on the air. And I want to spend just briefly, Gene writing in email, so I'm not giving the full name since it's not on the Facebook where everyone can see it, but raising a question about a supposed report on Afghanistan. And the Gene was pointing out this could have been a KGB person, just a lot of double talk, another PBS liberal guest. See, I know my comment may not be said well to someone like you, but it really bothered me to listen and now to remember, since many believe PBS still is and should be an unbiased organization. You're absolutely right, Gene. They get federal dollars. They can and do some good stuff, but then they also do a lot of their slanting. And while we're talking about fake news all the time, I mean, you got CNN and Chris Zaliza, I was talking about Rachel Maddow, the MSNBC, buying into that story about people showing up at hospitals, so many of them with high dosages of ivermectin that people with gunshot wounds couldn't get in. Total lie. She now knows it. She's yet to retract it. And then Chris Zaliza, CNN and far-left propagandist, he was trying to pull off a lie as well, pointing out the same story in reference to Oklahoma. And also then added Mississippi. Said 70% of the calls to that state poison control center are about ivermectin. And when you look into it, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's not right. It's not correct. But he hasn't corrected it, because he's more than intent to spread the lies and let it just kind of fall where it may, knowing that eventually they may get around to it, and then they don't say it was wrong. It's just that it wasn't in proper context. My boots on the ground correspondent, Chicago Andrew, brought this to my attention out of a piece of written by Joe Kenzie, titled, "More children have been shot this year in Chicago than had died from COVID in the entire U.S. Now, this is very interesting. It is an analysis of shooting data and CDC data showing that more children shot in Chicago, 280 this year, 280 shot, than had died due to COVID in the entire U.S., 214. More children have been shot and killed by gun violence in Chicago this year, 36. than have died of COVID in the entire state of Illinois, 15 since the pandemic began. Now, these are stats that have been pulled together supposedly by the CDC and others. I can't tell you how accurate they are. If I found that story is misleading the title, I'd say it, but I have a feeling that this might actually be correct. And stats are laid out here. The way that it's laid out, it's all right there in front of you to see. So if they're fabricated, someone's done a good job of fabricating it. But what is happening in Chicago is like other places across the nation where young children are being shot. They had nothing. They were doing nothing. One four-year-old shot over the weekend in Chicago was having his hair braided when someone opened fire through a window, killing the boy. And another Labor Day weekend case, a 13-year-old shot in the head while in the basement of a home. Someone shot through a basement window. He's in the hospital. They don't know what the long-term prognosis is. And the writer of this article, Joe Kenzie, said, if CNNN and Don Lemon Fruitcake, he didn't call him that, that's my phrasing, and his fellow CNNN losers cared about any of this, they'd be riding Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot's arse nonstop. But they're not going to call out Democrat mayor. They're not going to call out the Democrat governor. But if they can see any story about that somebody that might be a MAGA Trump supporter might have been taking a medicine intended for a dog or a horse instead of getting a vaccination, oh, yeah, we'll jump all over that. Even if the facts are true, wrong. And in the meantime, we've got to move afoot to dismiss many members that are assigned to some of our military institutions. They want to have their people cleansing the issues.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, we've got some breaking news tonight. All Trump appointees, including myself, have been kicked off the boards at the United States Naval Academy, Air Force Academy, and West Point in an unprecedented move by the Biden administration. I'm announcing tonight for the first time that I will not be submitting my resignation, and I will be joining a lawsuit to fight this. Here is the email I received right before noon today. I am writing to request your resignation from the Board of Visitors to the United States Naval Academy. If we do not receive your resignation by the end of today, which is right now, and they won't, you will be terminated. Attached is a formal letter. The letter says that the email states, on behalf of President Biden, I'm requesting your resignation as a member of the Board of Visitors to the U.S. Naval Academy.
Those are the fiery words of former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer on his Newsmax program, Spicer and Company. Yeah, the Biden administration has been sending out letters requesting the resignation of all of those appointed by former President Trump to various military service academy advisory boards. Now, why would they want to do that? And why are they doing it now? Because these advisory boards will want to have a full inquiry into what the hell did we do in Afghanistan? Who made the planning? Who's to be held responsible? We're going to have congressional, House and Senate inquiries, and hopefully House. We certainly will if we win the House back in the midterm election. But there are going to be questions asked, and rightly so. But don't forget, it's not just Republicans concerned. Congressman Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, he has been incensed that we had such a failure in how we withdrew from Afghanistan. He wants answers. So what we have now is that the Biden administration saying one way to do this is kind of get the people out of positions on these advisory boards that might be Trump-like. And they were appointed by Trump. It's not exactly like, you know, when the new administration comes in and if you're in the cabinet, you might as well turn in your resignation and submit it because the new president may not want you, or maybe they'll decide to keep you there. And you could say these are political appointees because Trump made the appointment to them, but that's been going on for, they're just advisory boards. But Jen Psaki, in explaining it to reporters, this woman does know how to put lipstick on a pig.
The president's objective is what any president's objective is to ensure you have nominees and people serving on these boards who are qualified to serve on them and who are aligned with your values. I will let others evaluate whether they think Kellyanne Conway and Sean Spicer and others were qualified or not political to serve on these boards.
Yep, there's the lipstick on the pig. I mean, just the president's objective is what any president's objective is. Sure, you had nominees, people serving who are qualified to serve on them and align with your values. Well, what are Biden's values? Who the hell knows? I think we know his favorite ice cream, at least in the last 5 minutes it might be his favorite ice cream. But you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. But there she was saying, you know, we need to make sure that people serving on these boards are qualified. Well, that's like dropping a grenade in the room in front of Sean Spicer, and he is going to throw it right back at you.
You know, Lizzie, I've followed tradition. Press secretaries never comment on the previous press secretary and or the current one, and I've respected that. I haven't responded to Jen or reacted to her, but she crossed a line today. She chose to bring me into this. So, Jen, you want to know about my qualifications? Joining the military and wearing the uniform of this amazing country remains one of my greatest decisions in life. For 22 years, I've had the honor of serving alongside some of the most talented, patriotic, and brave individuals this country has to offer. I'm a proud graduate of the U.S. Naval War College. I've done multiple tours, and politics has never entered into my service. I've served under five different presidents of both parties. When you wear the uniform, you serve the commander-in-chief. We take an oath as officers to the Constitution, not to a party. Each of us chooses how we're going to serve this country. I won't ever question how anyone chooses to do that. I won't question how you choose to do that, Jen. But don't you dare ever minimize or question my service to this nation. You got it?
You got it? Bacon? Anybody got bacon? Give me that pig. I love it. But now, in contrast to Jen Psaki saying, we want all these folks to resign because they serve on various service academy advisory boards. We want them to resign because they may not really be qualified. Well, you heard what Spicer said. Don't you ever, ever minimize or question my service to this nation. You got it? So riddle me this, Jen Psaki. How do you explain the rationale between Joe Biden suddenly wanting Congress to flip the immigration law on its head so Afghans coming into this country can be made citizens even before they're vetted? A former immigration judge said they're trying to put the entry cart before the vetting horse. This is buried on page 26 of a 34-page list of budget requests to Congress titled Continuing Resolution Appropriations Interest. Oh, my God. Oh, you read something like that. Oh, I'm going to need several five-hour energies. Yeah, boy, that does sound boring, doesn't it? But when you begin to look at it and really read into it, the legislation would change the law so the Secretary of Homeland Security could fast-track citizenship to at least 50,000 Afghans even while we're still trying to determine if those coming into our country had ties to any of the extremist breed terrorist groups in Afghanistan. Give them the right to vote. Well, you know, maybe if they have the right to vote, they won't go blow up a building, you think? The draft says the Secretary of Homeland Security may adjust the status of an Afghan national to become a citizen. And down in there they say, and if they clear additional background checks and screening. But another part says the Secretary may waive any applicable provision of some things of this nature. I mean, it's very convoluted, and it's meant to be. But what they're trying to do now, and this request delivered just a few days now as we get ready to go into 9/11 attack 20th anniversary, they are pushing this forward. And I guess they thought no one would actually read the damn page and find it. Well, thank God someone did. It wasn't me. I don't get credit for it. But this former immigration judge, Andrew Arthur, apparently took note of it. And he said, the Afghan government gave protection to Al-Qaeda terrorists deliberately. Now the Biden administration wants to run the risk of giving protection inadvertently, recklessly to potential terrorists here. Why are they doing it? Because they want to deal with the disaster, PR disaster, created with the president's exit from Afghanistan. They want to cover up that disaster by exposing American people to danger, another potential disaster. And, of course, they've already been letting anybody comes across the southern border, they want them to be able to vote. They're not a citizen either, but they want them to be able to do it. And the word is that the Biden administration now says it's flown more than 8,500 Afghans into the Philadelphia International Airport in less than 2 weeks. 8,500. We were told yesterday, Secretary of State Blinken saying, we are vetting people on the backside sometimes. In other words, after they get here to the U.S., we'll vet them. For the Democrats, it's politics ahead of national security. Which brings me to a story out of California. Larry Elder, conservative talk show host, of course, with the Salem Broadcast Network, running to defeat Gavin Newsom, won in that recall for him to be recalled and then for Larry Elder to win. Larry Elder was involved in one of the normal campaign things, and somebody wearing a gorilla mask, is that not racist, started throwing an egg at him. Threw an egg at him while wearing a gorilla mask. Larry later said, I kicked off the recall express bus tour, but before we left, my security detail was physically assaulted, shot with a pellet gun, hit with projectiles. The intolerant left will not stop us. We will recall Gavin Newsom. We will save California. Another person wrote, breaking a flying egg narrowly missed the back of recall candidate Larry Elder's head, thrown by an activist wearing a gorilla mask. Well, what did Governor Newsom have to say about that? I mean, it appears to be racist attacking a black man like that anyway and wearing a gorilla mask. You know what they're trying to say with that. Let me see. Here's a quote. Are you ready? Here's the quote from Gavin Newsom. The quote is, he said nothing. Nothing! In the next segment, preparing for another 9/11. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I have another email I want to share with you from Connie. I was going to try to write back to her directly, so I guess you'll just hear the answer here on the air. And she said, I have a question. We never hear about COVID in Afghanistan. Do they even have it over there? Maybe it's because the women have to cover their faces. Inquiring minds want to know. Love your program. Love, 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 love. No, she only said it one time. And try to listen every day. Connie, that point you raise, yeah, they have COVID in Afghanistan. And the fear now is, with the Taliban in control, they're going to have more COVID deaths. I can't cite to you the number off the top of my head right now, but they've had several 100,000, I think, die. They have had vaccines distributed, but now with the Taliban control, it may not. Or it would be given only to those that are Taliban-like-minded. Be another way to thin the population, wouldn't it? And, of course, we're talking about a moment ago of how many of these Afghans we're bringing in if they're being properly vetted. Please hear me this. Hear me clearly on this. If these are Afghans that were an interpreter for our forces and helping us and looking out for our troops while they were there, they and their family are at risk of being hunted down and executed by the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or ISIS. So, yeah, I want them to be brought out and protected. But I also want to make sure those we're bringing in for under asylum, which is a legitimate reason, that they are not terrorists. They're not the wolf in lions, the wolf in the sheep's clothing. And a majority of likely U.S. general election voters, according to a new Trafalgar survey, which got released the other day, and I just hadn't had time to spend on it, a majority of those polled, almost 57%, believe a 9/11-style terror attack is, quote, more likely. 19% believe it's less likely. 23% say Biden's handling of what happened in Afghanistan will have no effect on future attacks. Well, if you were listening earlier, my guest, heritage security expert James Carafano, said Biden is just helping enable another 9/11. And he's convinced we're not properly vetting these people coming in. Attorney General Ken Paxton, Republican, Texas, said we're not able to verify what screening measures are being applied to these Afghan migrants seeking resettlement. He said the federal government will not share its vetting procedures with the state. He said, so we don't have any confidence in the Biden administration to vet the migrants. He said, you look at our border. Look how they're just inviting people to come across. Obviously, cartels are involved in every transaction. You have to pay to get across the border. So even if they can't get on a plane to get out of Afghanistan, if they can get anywhere into Mexico, they'll join one of the caravans come over. But if we're actually bringing them over and settling them, like I said, 8,500 in Philadelphia in the last few days, and a lot of the cities and towns aren't being told they're coming in anyway. I want those people who helped us. I want us to honor our promise to them. And I also want every single American out of Afghanistan, and this administration won't give us that number yet either. 25 Republican senators demanded the president give it to them 2 nights ago. There's still no number. In California, Riverside, California, they were really trying to do right, and I'm going to give them credit for it. They wanted to pay tribute to the 13 fallen troops who lost their lives in Kabul. 13 American flags, some Marine Corps flags, or at least one Marine Corps flag, placed on a bridge Then the vandals came and destroyed all of it. Destroyed it. I guess they consider the U.S. flag offensive and racist or who knows what, and they don't care about those who died in that suicide attack. And yet a lot of people in Afghanistan would love to be here in this country. And today, final honors, a full military honor ceremony, laying Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz to rest at Jefferson Barracks Cemetery, the local Marine, one of the ones of the 13 killed in that suicide attack. I want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow, our second hour will be all about 9/11. Tomorrow, the second hour, all about 9/11. You make plans to hear that program and let your friends and families know it's going to be there. First hour, we'll have a lot of great content, too, but that second hour, make sure. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.